Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Anime Watch Club, a bi-weekly group discussion and review where the hosts of the What You Say Anime podcast nominate and vote on shows either we haven't seen or shows that hopefully lead to a great discussion. On today's episode, we flip the script a little bit and review our yearly two-core show and ask the question, is this just the Japanese version of The Blind Side? Let's dive into the 2016 anime March Comes in Like a Lion. Let's meet today's grandmasters. First up, he writes Neon Genesis Evangelion fanfiction where Shinji is replaced with Kiriyama, and it's just a socially awkward encounter with the other Rei, and it's a nice slice of life. We got Kat. Kat, how's it going?
That's a lot. That's a lot going on there. And I don't think I've seen either of those shows, actually.
That's weird, because we are literally reviewing one of them right now.
Oh. No, I've seen one of them.
Kiriyama, the main character of the show we are reviewing.
His name
is Rei. It was a Rei joke, but I didn't want to go Rei. Okay, whatever. We almost got there. Bad joke by me. Thanks for showing up, Kat. Appreciate it. Next up, his first move is always blunt to 6-9. We got Jay. Jay, how's it going?
Going pretty well.
Good to have you. Our first moderator of the night. He probably would have bullied Kiriyama. We have Miles. Miles, how's it going?
It's going well. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you would have.
Oh man, I was in the math club in school, yo, so like too. Who knows? But hey,
yo, twinsies.
But I probably would have bullied him anyway.
Yeah, for sure. You know. Yeah, and Pat.
I was in chess club in elementary school, but then never stuck with it. Then sports got serious. So, but yeah, welcome. Yeah, we're talking about March Comes in Like a Lion, or Thrigatsu no Lion. It's a show done by Studio Shaft in the fall 2016 season. And yeah, as we've talked about before, it's our two core for the year. I think this was on most of our plan to watches or shows that we've seen before. So I don't know. I'm very curious to see what kind of a discussion we have tonight. But why don't we get that started with our first impressions? Miles, what is your first impression and would you recommend this show?
Yeah, so I don't know where I got this impression, but like going into this, I thought this was going to be like a Sad Boys Hour sort of show, like a tearjerker kind of thing, and it's like not that at all. So like I guess that was surprising to me. I also didn't know it was about shogi. I think I just kept mixing this up with Your Lie in April. I'm gonna be perfectly honest. I think I just thought this was Your Lie in April, but like a clone of it. Or something.
When does Rei get cancer?
I don't know. Season two, you know. So a lot of this was like unexpected to me. I also like looking at Mal and like shout out to Jay's agenda real quick. Like Mal sucks at these things, but like this is like the childcare tag, and that feels super wrong. So like I kept waiting for that element to occur, and it just didn't. Did I enjoy this? There's a lot of beautiful stuff about this. Shaft does a wonderful job with the direction and the animation and everything, as they always do. I think there's a lot of like very dull points in this where I was like pretty bored. But there were also parts where I was really excited. I guess I would like I would recommend this if you know that you'd like this, which is such a silly thing to say, I guess. But like that's my thing. Like I think you know if you like this. You'll know if you'll like this more than I would. That's what I would say for my recommendation.
So you're saying you wouldn't recommend this to like a shonen bro? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think I would recommend this to like a lot of people. I think that you have to really like sort of slow paced type of thing. Like I think it's just really slow. Like it was too slow for me at a lot of points. And I don't mind slow things. I think you need to like a lot of people love this, right? So like I think that it's I understand why. I don't want to put my endorsement on it is what I would say.
Completely fair. All right, Kat, what about you?
Well, unlike Miles, who's too much of a coward to put his endorsement on it, I will put my endorsement on it. This show is, and my first impressions of it are, it's a little slow, like Miles said, but I think that after we start getting to know a lot of the characters, it becomes a much better show. And I think the first impressions can of the show can be a little bit kind of like this is average, maybe a little bit above average, but not more than that until we really start getting into a lot of the drama and a lot of the understanding of what the main character is coming from. So I believe that this is a show that a lot of people enjoy, regardless of your background. So I would absolutely recommend it.
Okay. Jay, what about you?
Yeah, I would also recommend this. I think that it is definitely a slow burn for the first, like, maybe two or three episodes when they're sort of introducing the characters and getting the, like, structure laid out. But the way that everything fills in after a while, or after that, is well worth the sort of journey to get there, in my opinion. I think even from the start, the music and voice acting, especially when it comes to, like, the narration of Rey's inner thoughts, is done very well from the get-go. And for people who have an appreciation of, like, good dialogue and writing, I think that that would be enough to carry them through the rather slow beginning towards the, you know, where things start to pick up. So I would definitely recommend this.
Cool. Pete, what about you?
We need to take a flashback back to the year 2019. I just got done finishing season one of The Seven Deadly Sins and giving it a 9. So after watching that, I decided to watch a little show called March Comes in Like a Lion. And I thought the show was super slow, super boring, and I gave it a 6 because it was, like, really pretty. If you thought I had bad taste now, just think about how bad my taste was back then. So this was my rewatch throughout watching it dubbed, because when I do my rewatches, I like watching it dubbed. And I was completely blown away by this show. Maybe a very crazy take, but I think this shows, like, competitiveness in sports, like, the second best, only behind Haikyuu. I think it was just, I was hooked from the get-go, from how they were explaining Shogi and how it ties to his life and how it means so much to him and just every aspect of his life. And I fell in love with that because, you know, this is a passion of him, and it like literally controls his life. And I don't know if I've been to the same level as Rey in terms of, like, your passions controlling, like, a lot of different aspects of your life. But I mean, even stuff like this, like our podcast, like, it controls a lot of aspects of my life. And I get that passion that Rey is going throughout the show. And I fell in love with his character, and I fell in love with the story almost immediately. I think this is definitely a show sort of like we did with Sound Euphonium, where a second watch through, I appreciated the show so much more. And I'm really happy we did. I would absolutely recommend this show to people who are looking for, like, pure drama, I would say, or, and like a little hint of, like, slice of life, but, like everyone said, slow burn and just really, like, falling in love with, like, a character who's, like, very passionate about something. And if that's your thing, I would recommend it so much. So if you like Barakamon with, like, his love, like, of calligraphy, I think you'd love something like this with Rey's love of Shogi. So 2 thumbs up for Pete.
All right. I agree with Pete's take on how it approaches someone obsessing over something, you know, like, so it's funny because, like, I've had different stages in my life where I've obsessed over different, like, sports or a specific game or anything. So I can definitely, I think they do a really good job of illustrating that with Kiriyama or with Rey, whatever we want to call the main character's name is. I don't know, though. I was not a very big fan of this, to be honest. I was pretty bored throughout watching this. It definitely, like Miles said, at certain points I started to get my interest peaked or was invested in what was going on the screen. But I really struggled through this at certain point. Like, whole episodes at certain points were just dragging for me, and it was frustrating because, like the others have said too, the voice acting very, very good. The script itself, like, or the dialogue does feel pretty natural, and it's fun. But, like, I think this 24 episode show or 22 episode show could have been one core and arguably could have been a really long movie, I think. And it would have changed it a little bit for sure. But I cannot believe 22 episodes were consumed. And I feel like I could just, like, in 2 minutes describe what happened throughout the entire story, you know, which I think is frustrating, or at least was frustrating for me. So I guess, like Miles said, I would recommend it if you think that this is something you would like or whatever. Like, again,
that's a useful recommendation.
No, it's a useful recommendation, but it's like, it's true though. Like, if you really like a slow burn, or if you're really focused on, or if you really like shogi, then this fits. Like, I don't know. I went in expecting to learn more about shogi than I did. And I ended up being kind of frustrated by that. But I guess it's not fair to the show. But at the same time, they try to teach you it, but then don't really fully teach you. I don't know. That's, again, not being fair to the show at all. So yeah, I would not recommend this otherwise, though. Like, I'm not recommending this to any of my Shonen bro friends. Not recommending this to someone that I don't think has a lot of time on their hands to kill, honestly. Like, I am... I'm still curious about maybe season two, but like, I don't know. I feel like Mal, like Miles also said, kind of lies to us here. Cause like, I can't fathom how this is like an 8.4, but I guess Your Line April's really high too, isn't it? So I don't know. people get sad and whatever. Either the show was framed to me like it was going to be Depression, the anime, or like a show that really touched on that a lot. And it didn't feel like it did to me. It felt like it touched on other aspects of mental health and other struggles that people deal with decently well, but it just wasn't what I was expecting it to be at all. Which I guess, again, also not fair to the anime, but I don't care. And it's my rating, right? So satire. So yeah, I guess that'll wrap up our spoiler-free discussion. This is a pretty... Is it spoiler heavy? Like,
not really.
I don't think it is at all. Like, oh, this guy wins a match, this guy loses a match. So I guess spoilers going forward, but like,
there are matches that are to be won and stuff. They're not super important, but they're not important from like a knowing who wins or loses won't ruin your enjoyment of the show or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's sort of known who's going to win them almost every single one you go into. I don't think any of them were like a big surprise.
So yeah, there we go. Either way, that's our spoiler warning, long-winded way of saying that. I think, did we want to start with...
Pete wanted to, and I'm super fine with this, wanted to like break things down into like several episode chunks. So like the first one being like episodes 1 through 5. So, Pete, why don't you start us off with your thoughts there, since that was...
Yeah, let's do it. So, because it's a two-core, and I think we can digest quite a bit throughout this episode. So, sort of, one thing that hooked me immediately with this show was sort of the introductions to the characters and sort of how the episodes layouts were. Because each episode, to me, was more like 2 12-minute episodes. And I think... breaking that up and kind of giving each character in the beginning like their own episode was a really fun and interesting way of establishing the cast. So the first episode with Ray, learning his background, understanding like he's this, you know, he's the fifth middle schooler ever to turn pro, sort of having that like expectations of, you know, LeBron James coming out of high school, and now we have the shogi player coming out of middle school. Is like, is he the prodigy? Is he the king or whatever? And sort of his glow up early into kind of where he's at now, I thought was established really well in the beginning, along with learning the Kawamoto family with Akari getting her own episode, Hina, Momo, the cats, the grandpa. So I guess I want to get your guys' thoughts on like sort of how they laid out like sort of Rei as a character and sort of establishing the supporting characters surrounding Rei.
Sure. I thought that the first episode was definitely something that was where I started having issues with the main character. It, like with Rei specifically, because it was a little bit too like melodramatic for me originally, and it didn't feel earned. But again, it was also because it was like, because first episode and it didn't really, I didn't really give it a chance to explain itself. And throughout the, like, introducing all of the characters, it did build a really good cast that Because at this point I wasn't a huge fan of Ray, I was able to kind of ignore him a little bit throughout the first few episodes, and I loved like the way that he reacted to like to the three sisters, the cats, the grandpa, the and his friend, not friend at the time. Like, I loved the way that the dynamic, like, I love the way that the dynamic kind of evolved over time, and specifically in this first, in these first few, first five episodes, how it kind of introduces the competitiveness to it as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree that in the first five episodes that, like I said earlier, the like foundation that they set up with the characters is incredibly important to what happens with the rest of the show. Because to be honest with you, I agree with Pat in a way that not a whole lot happens in this show plot-wise. It's not a very, like, at least in this, what we watched, the plot itself doesn't progress very much. It's mostly based on like character interactions and character growth. And so I think that taking the first five episodes to establish that really sets it up later on to, you know, for us to get to the meat of the series, which is those character interactions and the character growth specifically between like Ray and the people he becomes closer to, like Nikaido and his teacher and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the for me, just to tie it back to that first five episodes question, I don't know. For me, I was much more. I actually didn't find them that boring. That the beginning episodes I thought were pretty cool because it was establishing who the characters are. The cats were annoying for the first couple minutes, but then they got cute. I don't know.
Did you watch it dubbed?
I did watch it dubbed.
Me too.
That helped me with the cats because like they had like just cute little chibi voices, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the I enjoyed the family, but the art threw me off too. I will say it took me a little while to get used to that. Like Miles said it earlier that they look like frogs. That's so funny because it's a pretty good analogy. They've got these wide ass mouths and just glossy eyes that you just I couldn't get with the vibe of it. I got used to it obviously eventually, but it is funny that it's. Only some of the characters have that too, though. You know,
yeah, maybe Akari, I feel like, is like the main frog face
guy. Yeah.
And then his friend.
All of the sisters have it too, though, a little bit. Like, pretty Fido bad.
Does,
yeah. Fetal alcohol syndrome. To me,
it felt like. To me, it felt like a lot of the. Like, mainly the kids were the people that had it, and the adults didn't.
It definitely, yeah.
One kid with a mustache.
Akari's like 23 or something.
Yeah, I mean, the grandpa honestly looked very different from the rest of them. He kind of, like I mentioned in the chat that yeah. He looks like a high Q character.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like, what's his face? Like the main character Jujutsu Kaisen's like grandpa before he died.
True.
I guess I'm like looking at portraits of the characters now, the rounder someone's face is, like the more full their face is, the more likely they are to look like a frog, I think, is just sort of how it goes. Like they just like in like they take it from the chin and just move it up to make the face rounder. And that's what gives the frog look. Mm-hmm. I actually really like the character design. I mean, I just like everything Shaft does from like a visual aspect. I think even the weird heads like help with like the head tilty, like interesting camera angles they do and stuff like that for characters. So, but I mean, at least three people have told me that they don't like the character design and that they look like frogs. So it's definitely like I don't know. It's like the dress that you saw is blue and black or white and gold or whatever.
You led me to the frog comparison, but I agree with it. Yeah, but to be clear, like I was just like they're ugly. I don't like them. I think they're weird, or they look. I shouldn't say ugly. I didn't vibe with the style.
Uncanny is probably a better word for it.
That's a nicer word for it, but I like saying ugly. So I don't know. It's a Shaft again. I don't always get along with Shaft. It seems like we'll just leave it at that.
He's more studio balls.
Kind yeah, of I'm, much, yeah. I'm more of a studio nut kind of guy. That's what it is.
There we got there.
No, exactly. Yeah.
You love Ice Age.
Because of the nut. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I do. Okay, I do like
there.
Ice Age.
We got that. He's good.
Scrat, scrap, what? Scratty? Scrappy? Scrat?
Scratch.
Scratch?
I think it's just scratch.
Scrat. It's okay. Scrat. It's definitely scat. Scrat. Thank you.
Let's just review Ice Age.
Yeah. Honestly.
Honestly.
April Fool's episode, we watch Ice Age. Everyone
would do that.
No.
I like my domination.
But it's an animation. It's an anime. It's an American anime.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I had a hard time with the first five episodes. I don't really like Rey kind of ever throughout the show. I forget what episode it was. It's going to be in like, I think our next or the following section, but there was like one time where I was like, oh, thank God, dude. Like, thank you for like finally caring about something. But I don't know. He's just too like sad. Like when he's doing these things, he's like there's one point where he's like shopping and he's like, I can't even do depression right. And I was like, okay, dude, like, come on. Like I get you're sad, but, and then there's one point he's like, why do I even have friends? Am I weak because I want to have friends? And I was like, no, you dumbass. No. And why do you think that? I guess, and people can correct me if I'm wrong or if I've missed something, which I think is super possible. Like, he obviously has some sort of familial trauma. Like, that is very clear to me. The exact source of it, I never really picked up on. Like, why he is so down on himself and never happy with who he is. You know what I mean? Like I never got exactly why. And maybe that gets revealed later.
I think sometimes you just don't need a reason for that. I think some people are just, like, literally built like that.
That's a bummer for them.
I agree. But like, I have definitely seen that in my life where people are just, like, just built that way.
I guess and that's fair. I guess, like, to me, it seems like it's coming from a familial aspect. But then every time I see him interact with his stepdad or his adoptive father or whatever, it seems like a very positive interaction. Like, the dad seems to, like, favor him over his own children.
100%.
Yeah, and, like, or at least the daughter. And, like, I know he feels some, like, guilt over that. Like, I get that aspect, but, like, I don't get why he... I'm just not sure where it's coming from. Like, and I want to know because I feel like it's hinting towards it, if that makes sense.
I feel like that'd be something later in the seasons, like, if he comes to terms with that. I think that'd be, like, a really good reveal. But, like, I think he's just, like, you see context throughout the show of him having issues with, you know, losing his family and sort of accidentally destroying another, where... You know, if he never came into the picture of the other family, that family, would they have their problems? Absolutely. Like, that dad has such high expectations for his kids. It's crazy. But, like, I think he feels, like, a lot of guilt of, like, being the favorite kid, even though he's not biologically a part of that family. And I think that holds weight throughout the story, especially with him and Kyoko's relationship.
Which is something I want to dive into at some point because, are they absolutely fucking?
Like, what was that? I feel like it's heavily implied
that they have slept together before.
Go ahead, Kat. Sorry.
I choose to believe that it is heavily implied that Kyoko is using the guilt that he feels as a way for her to get free therapy out of him. Because she knows that he's never going to get away.
100. She literally just follows him around and is like, if you beat this dude at Shogi, he'll beat his children. And leaves.
Yeah.
She just shows up and says that and then leaves. Like,
I thought it was much more heavily implied that she sexually assaulted him at one point.
I thought that was the case too. Everyone I talked to said no. Though
I thought it was like that it happened one time and that's why he kept getting that flashback to that moment.
Yeah,
I guess we're both just dumb. I don't know. I'm kidding. Obviously,
I think there's ads for sure.
This is in the first five episodes, right? I don't want to get too off track, but like,
I think it's just past five, but it's in that. It's pretty close to it.
Okay, because like when he's flashing back to Kyoko before we met, there's like a very sinister thing of her like pushing him onto a bed, and like he thinks of it when someone mentions love, right? He flashes back to this moment. And he's like very off put by it. And I for, you know, whatever reason, immediately thought that he was sexually assaulted by her.
Yeah.
But I think the answer is no to that from what I've looked up or whatever. It might just be Shaft being dramatic about it, like they tend to be.
Because she like physically abuses him. So like, I think the hints are there where I think it's right to question it. But like you said, I also don't know that answer. I don't know if it's ever addressed, but I lean more towards no, it didn't happen, but it's not, you know, I'm like 75% sure.
There are directionally, right? Like they have the scene of their shoes together on the floor and stuff. And like that's often used as like a knocking boot sort of implication, like directorially, like you do that shot to like show that like two people are, and like they're, I don't think that they're like sleeping together or whatever, but I don't know if people agree with this, but I feel like the direction really laid on the sexual tension between them, and I'm wondering about that. I guess
I agree with that. I felt like they were at least like romantically interested, or she was interested in him in some way. That's the way I interpreted it. Like she was, and it's a part of her like coping, or part of her
some sort of like
trauma.
Codependent, terrible. Yeah.
I don't know.
Apparently, I looked into this, by the way, and apparently the author has just straight up said that this would never get addressed again. So just don't worry about it, I guess.
Okay.
Cool.
Maybe it's like a dropped plot line. Maybe he like wanted to do it and then was like, this is a terrible idea. My bad.
There was planned to be an aspect of sexual abuse, but it was a scrapped plot line.
Got it.
That makes me at least feel slightly more sane for getting that vibe from it, I guess. Do we want to talk about Kyoko?
I think it ties into the next part where
Kyoko
is more of a pivotal point in Rei's next upcoming matches, where Rei is presented in a state where he has lost two consecutive shogi matches, I think for the first time in his career, where, you know, it's so competitive, the den that he's in, where, you know, losing, going like 7-4 in a year, like might get you demoted. Like that's how competitive these houses are. So he's at the point of his life where he's lost two. And Kyoko is sort of telling him, like, okay, your next match is up against this guy where if he loses his next match, he's going to retire.
Yes.
Or he's going to go drink his problems away because you beat him. And this is kind of where I started falling in love with Rei's competitiveness, along with sort of Kyoko's sinisterness. So they tie into two, where I do think that Kyoko telling Rei these things sort of puts him in like a different drive in order for like his passion for shogi, because sometimes I feel like you need a push, whether it's a hater in this case is Kyoko, or like a motivator with like a coach. And I just really loved how Rei was just like, I don't care if I retire this man, like I need to win. And I think a lot of people would, you know, especially someone in Rei's age who is what, 16 at the time, 15, 16, losing one match is not going to end his shogi career. Like he might get demoted, but like, I think you're faced with a dilemma of like, are you willing to end this man's career? And Rei said, pass me the ball. And I really enjoyed that. And I think it also really showcased Kyoko as like this, I mean, hater of the year award winner. Like it was a great mix of the two. So I guess, what are your guys' thoughts on like, so this arc is called the Child of God. So this Child of God arc.
Yeah. I really like the scene where he yelled out to like the ocean or the river, I guess, because it's with the the whole thing is, right? Like where he, I assume that that was in this arc again. Everything kind of blended.
Yes, it was. That was episode 6 or 7.
All right. Where he yells like, "Oh, it's not my fault. You're a deadbeat. It's not my fault. This, blah blah blah." Of course, wish he said that to him in person. That to me would be a real fucking competitor. I don't know. Maybe I'm just more intense, I guess. But either way, like, the fact that he has
there's like a decorum to shogi players. Yeah. It's kind of shown throughout the series. I think that wouldn't be seen as acceptable.
Of course not. Well, it's not acceptable in real sports, but it still happens either too. You know, yeah. Like, but yeah, you're right though. Like again, I get why they didn't have him do it. But I do appreciate that he did it to himself, you know, to himself and like let all that emotion out. Because yeah, getting guilt tripped, like Kyoko is such a terrible person. Like to try and guilt trip someone to that or getting their head that way is so, so awful. Oh my God. Like that's like saying like break a leg, but
literally,
or like in a different
on your heart and break a leg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good reference there, Kat. But like, I loved that scene. That was one of those moments where I actually really was locked in. I was like, this was really well done. And it was cool to see that he's competitive. But then I kind of feel like I didn't feel that way about him for the rest of the show, because it was just a lot of more of just, oh, I'm going to beat this guy and then he's going to have to deal with losing. Like, I don't know. That's sports, man. That's competition, man. You know, like it didn't really feel very impactful to me like that specific.
Ray basically plays like one more shogi match this entire time after he beats these two people in like this arc.
Mm.
Like he has like the guy who's going to retire and then like the guy who doesn't love his children when he loses or whatever. And
well, just Trump doesn't necessarily not love his children.
I think it's like very implied that he's like a bad absentee father that when he loses.
Yeah. He goes and drinks and just gets hammered.
And like doesn't spend time with them or whatever.
He hates his wife. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she's going to make him do housework if he's not a shogi player.
That was the grandpa.
That was the grandpa. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought that that's who we were talking about.
No, the grandpa's like super based. He's like, I can't win them all. I guess it's over. Let's go get drunk.
Yeah.
And then like they have like a good time together. The other guy,
I'll spend all your money, and then I'll spend all my money.
Yeah. The other guy was like a dick, and that's when Ray has like that really cool moment where he's like, you know, like it's not my fault I beat you. Like it's your fault that you suck. Which I really liked. Like I liked that a lot. But I sort of think that I would have liked to see like more of that, I guess, from Ray. But again, we don't get to see him play much more after this. It's mostly him spectating. Like he loses his next match and then we watch him like spectate people who are like higher ranked than him, which is interesting, but at some point I guess I want to see him play more shogi, which I guess is like the second season or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the start of second season, I think.
Yeah, but he's like eliminated from like the playoff contention like halfway through this season. Like in this like second arc that we're talking about.
I want to comment on episode 9. It had my favorite moment of the entire show. And people who have played, I'm going to do this for like Miles and Jay, who have played Magic, or if you've played like any video game or anything competitively, there's like a moment where when you know that you're good, and there's a moment that you know that you're going to win. Like it's like no matter what the opponent does, like you got it in the bag. And Ray does this thing where he's like playing over and he's hunched. And then the guy makes a play like he fucked up and he just immediately sits up. He's just like, I got it. It's like he knows right then and there that he won. And I thought that was just so cool, because a lot of times you see it in sports anime where it's just like, I'm going to hit the home run. And then he goes and hits the home run and they win. But in this case, it's like the physical storytelling of Ray just like acknowledging, just like, no, I got this. Like, I'm good enough to know that I got this. And I thought that was such a great pivotal moment in like Ray's like playing style, because he was this is coming to. So he lost 2 in a row, and then I think he won one more time, and then he's playing the guy who's going to retire. I think that's the order. I could be mistaken, but I just thought that was such a cool moment of Ray's character of just coming to terms. Just like, nah, like I am this good. Like I know I can win. I know that this dude lost. Like I am this level for a specific reason. And I fell in love with, that's when I fell in love with Ray. That's when I fell in love with his character, especially as like a Shogi player. I don't know if anybody else saw that scene, but I was, I even typed it in chat. I was like, this is fucking gas.
I mean, I liked that, and I liked this whole arc from Ray, but like, I then fell out of love with him.
Oh, because he lost? And,
well, because, I don't know. I just like,
winners don't deserve my respect.
No, it's not that he like wins or loses. I think Pat said it. He's just a bit melodramatic for me. And he sort of just like thinks to himself, he's like, as I sit here, and I get he's like a high schooler or whatever, but like, you know, and I definitely was more melodramatic than I needed to be in high school, but that doesn't mean I need to like it now when I'm older. So, you know, he's like, I sit here looking at the ocean and I wonder, how does the ocean mean that I'm good at shogi or something? I can't even do it.
Honestly, he should be like a writer or a poet or something based on his inner monologue, because beautiful sometimes.
Yeah. See, I found it very annoying. I was just like, okay, buddy, you're just some dude. Like,
that's Miles, your inner monologue is like, computing nutrients, dying from ailment.
Miles is like that a lot, isn't he?
While we're on this arc, I loved how they talked about ducks for a bit and ended an episode on ducks, the diving ducks or cormorants specifically. That was pretty fun. It felt very random and out of place, but I guess maybe because it was the whole point. They're kids and they get
with Nikaido. It was just like Nikaido honestly grew up into the MVP, which is crazy because I did not fuck with him at all when he first got introduced.
Absolutely.
I didn't fuck with how they treated him. They fat shamed the shit out of this guy the entire show. They're fat shaming this guy, and it's like, Jesus, guys.
Well, he's gonna get girl.
Akari got the hots for him.
The sisters thought that the fatness was cute or handsome for him. Like, it was a positive for him.
It wasn't fetishizing
We all got our fetishes. It starts off like right away, and like Ray's like, this useless piece of fucking shit who's so bad at shogi thinks he's my friend and rival. I remember when I played against him when he was children. He was fat then too.
And sweaty. Don't forget. So you can see why I got really annoyed about this. This felt like a personal attack. 100%.
He lost shogi because he was too fat to sit outside for more than 1 hour. It's like.
And in reality, he's just actually sick. It's not even that it's fat or he's fat. I mean, he is fat, but he's fat because he's sick or because he has a syndrome or an illness of some kind. So it's like they are ableist. Fucking, they were terrible this entire show to this poor kid.
He was nothing but nice.
He was such a nice kid the whole show too.
Pat, you're like, this is like, one, I gotta say, you're telling on yourself a little bit, buddy, because like normally when like these things happen, you're like, you know what, life is hard sometimes, cruelty happens, I don't care if this person was paralyzed from the waist down when they were 5. That's not a real thing you said, but like that's
I feel like I've already said that.
It is ableist for them to make fun of the fat kid. He tries very hard.
in the context of the show, I thought it was very out of place for them to just be such a.
No, I definitely agree, because the show goes through like pretty hard lengths to humanize like literally everyone, and they do humanize him, but like the first 4 episodes that you meet this guy is just Ray hating him.
It's a fat and joke,
then, yeah. Yeah, and then at some point Ray stops hating him and he's like, "Oh, I guess I have a friend now."
I guess fat people are humans too.
I guess a fat friend is worth 2 friends. Like that's what it just felt like.
I don't care if you have to have 2 seats on your own helicopter.
Because like, man, saying that as I am about to be on a plane in 2 days and I am gonna hate it because I'm fat and tall and it just sucks. But like, no, the. Like, if this character was in Gundam, and they were being the pricks to him like this, I would have been all about it. Cause like, I don't care. And it fits the narrative of the show or like the vibe of the show. But this whole show is about like, not this. And that's why I was so jarring, you know, like it just feels so out of place.
If you want that, watch Mobile Suit Gundam, Witch from Mercury, because but he's like an ace pilot. And so he like, it's like a whole funny bit because in the, like the prologue to it, he's like, young, super handsome, just like the coolest guy. And it's been like 20 years or whatever since then. So he's older and fat now. And so they're like, we're bringing up the ace pilot. And he like walks in and he's just like, just like waddling in there, like trying to get the suit on. it's pretty funny.
It is. Funny.
And he's a cool dude. All things
he's a good character.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think this was probably my favorite arc. As a whole, the Kyoto tournament, like half of it, I think, was like my other favorite part. Yeah. Or actually, it's all of it except for this one random 10-minute part in episode. Wait, is this the arc where they started singing the Shogi Cat songs?
That is
next arc, I think.
Next.
Yeah, Teach Me How to Play Shogi is episode 8.
I had a hard time with that.
Oh, I played that shit on repeat. Amiibos. That's on the gym playlist, though.
I thought it was funny, but I skipped it every time, too. I skipped like the 2 minute and a half like interlude in the middle of the show. Like, it was just like, why? What is this?
And also, it just happened randomly sometimes, I feel like. Just like, random. I don't know. This is a question I have for you guys. Do you think you guys would have liked this more if you understood? Maybe you understand Shogi. I think I had some issues because I don't get Shogi at any sort of level other than like the very, very basics. Because there are parts where they're like debating like what defense to use or like what move to make in a certain position. And I like, to me, that feels like something that's probably informing us about the characters in some way.
For sure.
They were just arguing about whether or not control or aggro is
Yeah,
100%.
Exactly,
and then,
right?
And then Ray was like, I play Jund mid-range.
Exactly. See, and Pat has no idea, but
four of you are having
a good Pat, time. Pat, it's in soccer, do you play three forwards or one forward?
What formation do you use? Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, again, that makes basic sense. But of course, it's hard to tell, like, what strategy mean or what, like what Miles is saying, like, oh, or is he an aggressive player? Which they did a pretty good job, I thought saying, like, too. Oh, that's an aggressive formation. That's an aggressive move. That's a defensive move. And obviously we don't know the nuance of that in the same way you guys have no idea what I'm talking about when I say a holding midfielder in a 4-4-2, like, you know, like that's different. It's okay that you don't, you know, like, I don't know, but like, I didn't mind it that much, Miles, I guess, so to answer your question that you were leading into.
I don't know, and this is just like a me thing, I guess, but like I love like little nuancey things like that, and like the fact that I couldn't get it made me hate myself, so.
I mean, they would say things like, oh, they're bolstering the castle. I'm like, okay, I have a general understanding that they're playing defense now or something like that. Like,
the
terminology made it seem like I could having like a basic knowledge of chess helps. Like, I don't know shit about shogi other than like it's complicated chess, and so like I think having a basic understanding of at least chess definitely helped, and I can sort of like understand like 60% of the shogi. I don't know how things get promoted, really. Like, I know you go to the other side, but then like you can
So there's three things, and then there are certain pieces that turn like have to turn into particular pieces, and there are some pieces that have choices.
Yep.
And you don't have to promote if you don't want to, but there are some pieces that do have to promote. I looked up the rules to Shogi to try to like get it better.
I don't think that mattered as much. Like, knowing those types of rules mattered. I think just knowing, like, you know, it's like chess, you kill the king, they move this way. I thought like the cat Shogi things was enough for me to like get a basic understanding. I thought that was actually really cute and creative.
So I hated every instant that happened. But then, two,
like, the idea of like him turning into like a child's book so kids could teach shogi, I thought that made like perfect sense. Like, I get Miles as like a grown-ass man. That's annoying. But I think if I was like a six-year-old kid, like, I'd be like, I'm interested in Shogi
now. Yeah, well, I have to, look, I read children's books all the time now, right? So, like, you know, I have to,
I thought,
you know,
I'm... Wait, you finally learning how to read?
Yeah, I'm finally learning how to read. I've been really enjoying the Pout Pout Fish and Little Blue Truck lately.
Yeah, bangers. That's in my rotation as well.
Yeah. That's but like, I guess like there are more complex things that I wish I had gotten that I assume are adding stuff to the anime, right? Like, I remember this one discussion when they're in their boot camp and one of them's like, oh, do Castle to J9 or something. And then it's like, what do you do, Pond? And then they just start fighting each other. And like, I want to know why they're fighting. I understand that it's representative of like differences of their play style, but I wish I knew enough to be like, okay, this guy is more conservative because of this, or more like this, or maybe this is a dated move, you know.
Do you want the like show to show you that? Or do you, or
no, I just wish I knew. I think I would like it more if I knew. Gotcha. That's what I'm saying. It's not the show's fault that I'm dumb. It's
the show like seeks out to teach you, but then doesn't fully teach it. Like, I don't know. So they taught you that pieces, the way the pieces move, right? And it's relatively the same as chess outside of like a few different changes here and there. But then, oh, you can literally just remove pieces from the board and then like put them back on later, or you can put pieces on the board and I didn't understand.
When you capture your opponent's pieces, instead of moving, you can put one of your opponent's pieces onto the board in various places. So your like
opponent's pieces in various
places? So like, let's say I take your Silver General, right? I can then put your Silver General into play in lieu of making a move, right? So then I have more pieces. So it sort of like snowballs like that, but then you have more. So like it's the reason these games last so long is because the balance of pieces is not finite like it is in chess. It's in theory infinite. You know, so like you need to like gain an advantage, press that advantage, and then win, you know, but like if your opponent like comes back, not only did you like lose your advantage, they've gained extra pieces and stuff. It's very complicated, but that's how that works, I think. And also maybe not, I don't know. I read the rules a couple times, like, but that's my understanding is that when you, that's why pieces can come on the board, because when you capture your opponent's pieces, you can put them in play.
Okay. That makes it make a little bit more sense, but I'm still, you know, I guess like, is it, I guess it's not fair for the show to explain it to us, but if you're going to make it such a huge plot point, shouldn't you like try?
I think the show explains the basics okay enough. And it's like, one, it's a really complicated thing. Like, I think the show would be terrible if it just tried to like explain basic shogi theory to us, because it would, I mean, that would take forever, right? Like, that would be so like, I already thought the cat sections were too long personally. And like, imagine if there was like seven more cat sections in the show. Like, I agree with like everyone saying like I got the gist of what they were saying for the majority of the shogi parts, and so that is at least to the credit of the show. And then also who it's being written for. I imagine your average Japanese, you know, like chess in America or wherever, you know, like if you say like, oh, like I, you know, enough people have enough knowledge to know that like what castling is or what like checkmate is and all of that sort of stuff. So like Bluey has a chess episode, you know what I mean? That's how phased of it is. So, and I think the moral of it is trying to teach. Well, because I've seen it so many times.
it's such hatred.
And then I think the moral of it is that it's like stupid to try to teach small children chess, but like whatever.
That's why you shouldn't teach it to me.
That's why you just teach your kids chess instead of showing them Bluey.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But like I don't know. Like I think that like one, like Westerners definitely aren't the target audience of this. Like that would be like Japanese people, and they're going to have a more intuitive understanding of shogi. I would assume.
Yep.
Japanese people have an intuitive understanding of shogi. Got it.
Yes, when they're born, they come out knowing that sort of stuff.
It's like us when we come out of the womb, we know what football is, and we're like, "Go Packers!"
Exactly. I understood NASCAR.
Yeah, hockey for me. Yeah,
turn left. Yeah, it's left.
It's left.
Except for certain races. Certain races.
Wait, what?
The really? Non-fun races. Yeah, the road races.
The fun races.
I think those are more fun. Yeah, because they actually do. I don't know.
Because there's a lot more, like, there's a lot more than just velocity. Oh, there's not many high speed crashes, but there's a lot of crashes. Yeah, the
fun stuff. Okay.
Sorry.
Let us continue.
Let's move on past. I think we got the gist of it. The next part is sort of these episodes 10 through 15, where after the match is over, we get introduced to Ray's background a little bit more with Kyoko's family. We see the Christmas episode where Ray's family. Yes, it's Ray's family. Well, in the flashback, it's not his family yet, but this is the episodes where we see Ray sort of get like the well-crafted shogi pieces when Kyoko gets sort of like a stuffed animal, sort of like her dad telling her, like, you're done. Like, this kid's it. You're not. We also get the New Year's episodes with the Yamamoto family. And a little bit more introduction into Smith, who I also think is like a low-key MVP. I really enjoyed him. And Ray having more conversations with when he goes back to school for the first time in a hot minute and converses with his teacher. So this is more of like the lull before like the next shogi stuff. So your guys' thoughts on sort of these more like slice of life also slash like drama filled backstory of Ray and his everyday life outside of playing shogi.
Is this the part where we get that like 5 minute long interlude of Smith just eating?
Yes. Yeah. At the beginning episode.
That shit was annoying.
Oh, I loved it.
Wow. I thought that would vibe with you super hard, Jay, but also no. I thought it was super annoying. The show does this a lot where it just spins an inordinate amount of time on a completely random. Some people might say unnecessary.
Yep.
Yeah, but like, yeah, where he just like wakes up and like goes to his match and then like loses or whatever.
No, so he's like eating breakfast and like drinking and then eats breakfast again.
He's getting ready for his day. He's like prepping. This is like an extremely obscure reference I'm going to make, but he reminded me of the fashionista guy from the band that Phineas and Ferb get together for their parents' anniversary. In that episode of Phineas and Ferb.
Who are you talking to?
Why do you bring this up?
Yo, shout to the two people who watch Phineas and Ferb.
That was a cultural phenomenon.
It's not our fault, you're old Pete.
Yeah, fucking boomer.
Yeah, one day in college, I got really drunk with my cousin, and we watched every episode of Phineas and Ferb, and it was awesome.
How long do you have to be drunk to watch all of Phineas and Ferb? That's a long-ass show.
It was college.
3 days.
We just kept it going. I was 20. It was a different time.
I love college. Hey.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. My favorite part of this was the Kyoko stuff. I think she's like a really interesting character. I kind of hate that they humanized her some. I sort of like wished that she was just this devil on his shoulder and they like never made me try to feel bad for her. Like halfway through this, I was like, how cool would it be if Kyoko has been like dead this entire time? And she's just like a hallucination of like someone who's like haunting
Whoa.
Him.
But if in that scene when the girls are there and they're like, who's he talking
like, who
to?
Talking?
And he's no one there. That would have been so good. Oh my God, Miles, you're genius.
I know, but she was dating the Yakuza guy, so it couldn't happen. Yeah. But it would have been really cool if it did.
You're right.
Which is why I was sad they fleshed her out, because it ruined my theory that she was dead.
These are also the episodes where we got introduced to Goto as well.
Yeah.
Is that the guy?
Yeah. I don't know if you want to hear a hot take. My favorite character in the entire show.
Goto.
I loved Goto. Loved
what,
him.
What about him do you find enjoyable?
He's the Shogi Griffith. He is just pure evil. This is a spoiler for season two. I don't think anybody cares. His wife is in a coma, and he's just like.
They say that
was a spoiler. Okay, I guess in the dub they mentioned that she's in the hospital, but I never.
Yeah, heard no, they coma. Say she's in a coma. They say she's yep. in a coma.
Okay, I missed that part then.
Because I remember distinctly me and Simone were watching this, and Simone's like, man, if I was hearing this, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. He reminds me of, like, when he's playing Shogi, like, Rick Sanchez just, like, double middle fingering people, just like, I'm better than all of you motherfuckers. He's like, he does not care at all. Like, he comes in, he gets the business done, he wins, and then he leaves, and then he's, like, gaslighting the shit out of this 20-year-old girl. Like, who obviously has like serious daddy and family problems, and he's just like, leave me alone, but at the same time come over when nobody's here. Like, I don't know, I thought he was just like diabolical and sinister. Yeah, and just
you're
pure
like a,
evil.
You're a big fan of that.
Big That's fan. I don't like him as a person. I think he's just presented man. Great as a villain.
Like, the real GOAT is obviously Mr. Shimada.
Obviously. Oh yeah. Ooh. Absolutely.
Ooh. Explain why.
Well, honestly, we get just a lot of like of his inner monologue as well. I think that like the episode, like we can talk about this more when we actually get over to like his backstory episodes later on. But I just think that his character development through his like inner monologue and backstory is done really well. The type of character that he is for Rey, like I think he feels like an archetype that he was kind of solely lacking in his life, mm-hmm. which is like he has like a father figure, obviously, and his father figure is even involved in Shogi, but Shimada just kind of like understands the actual like pressure aspect of it and wanting to like make yourself into something when you don't have like a background in it, like making yourself out of literally nothing.
That's a good point.
Shimada's my favorite character, I guess, except for maybe Kyoko, but that's different.
Jesus.
I know.
His favorite character was Kaya from My Happy Marriage. Like, it checks out.
Kyoko was fun, though. Like, she added some spice to the story.
Kyoko got the most, like, shaft head tilts, and, like, that's really...
True.
When he was the main character for those first... For a couple episodes towards the end here... I was like really into it. I was like, I like this show now. I'm so excited. And then they skipped four of his matches and it confused me. Mm-hmm. But that's jumping a little bit ahead.
I just wanted to say, like, this is the arc where I felt like there was a lot more. I felt like a lot of his, like, the issues that I had with, like, Rey's melodrama were answered for me, personally. Because it felt more like it wasn't just him being melodramatic. It was the fact that he was being confronted with going to an orphanage or playing Shogi. And it shows, like, you know, him saying, that was the first time I lied. Like, I want to play Shogi. I don't want to lose my silence. Mm-hmm. And then he started playing Shogi. He started getting really, really good. And then, like, he was trying to enjoy himself, but at the same time, he had this fucking pariah next to him that was literally beating the shit out of him every single time he was, like, even a little bit happy. So that was where, like, I understood, holy shit, she's a piece of shit. And he's the way he is because he feels like he can't be happy.
Mm.
And it's just that trauma made me understand, like, I actually like Rey as a character because of that. Because he is playing, it seems normal-ish, his version of normal. When, like, he gravitates to being depressed. He gravitates to being sad because that's who he is.
Yep.
So I feel like Rey's whole thing was
was earned, and that's that. Like, this arc was the moment that kind of cemented it for me personally.
Yeah, I think you do see it with, like, you know, Kyoko belittles him all the time, but then, you know, afterwards, like, she's like, well, let me stay at your house. Like I'm gonna be a huge piece of shit to you. Like, let me sleep in your bed. Give me a t-shirt. Like, and then, like, she wakes up and, like, wakes him up, and she's like cuddling with him, and he's like, oh, I want comfort now. You have to provide this for me. And it's like, you've done nothing for Ray. Like, you are, like, a negative detriment to him. Like,
you know, the guy or the girl from Skip and Loafer that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, Shima's like girlfriend or whatever. Yeah.
The childhood friend or whatever.
That, you made me drink at the party. This is all your fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
The other thing, like, going on further than that, like, the way that Kyoko, like, literally go, like, he's trying to stand up for himself at some point, and he's just like, hey, this is fucking wrong. I'm trying to fucking live my life. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and she's like, so who the fuck do you think you are? You ruined my life. Like, you need to repay me back for what you've taken away from me. And that's, like, the moment where I was like, yeah, fuck this person.
He needs a Pete Weber moment and hit her with the, who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah.
Ray really needs one of those moments.
The anniversary of that was like 3 days
the other
ago.
Day, yeah. That was great.
From recording, at least, yeah.
No, for sure, yeah. So after that, we have, like, a setup for episode 16 through 18. This is sort of like the fun chemistry class episode where we get introduced to the 34-year-old man who's actually a junior in high school chemistry student, along with sort of the setup for the Soya and Shimada match, and sort of the introduction to the Shogi workshop. So this is just before the Kyoto tournament. Any thoughts on, like, this sort of, like, I guess I would, for me, this is more of like a filler into the Kyoto. I don't know if anything specifically stood out other than seeing Ray sort of, like, going back to high school a little bit. And then sort of Ray, I think he starts growing more towards admiring Shimada a little bit more in this setup, with, like, his drive to join the Shogi workshop. So,
Ray has, like, a pretty big, like, character development here when he's, like, realizing that he has, like, friends and, like, a support system and stuff. And he's like, none of us changed. We just, you know, are getting along now or something, which I think is, like, missing the point a little bit on his part, because I think he has changed because he's, like, less of a freaking loser now. But, like, like, I that's good to see, right? Like, I think he's, like, slowly coming into enjoying what he does. Like, you know, I think that, like, and I don't know how much we've touched on this, but, like, I think there was some amount of him wondering how much he likes Shogi, even though he likes Shogi, like, versus he has to do Shogi sort of thing.
I think that's tied in really well in episode 22, but yes.
Yeah, well, I think here is, like, the start of him being, like, this is what I would choose to do regardless, sort of deal. And, you know, so I thought that was good. The workshop, a thing that there was just so much Shogi talk going on in that it sort of, like, lost me a little bit. But I don't know. I like the Kyoto arc coming up, so it was worth it, I guess.
Yeah, I enjoyed the, like, the Shogi workshop arc in general. Just sort of, it was nice to see Ray actually branching out and, you know, making an effort to get out of the house, even if it is just to do more Shogi related stuff, and seeing him develop, like, you know, his friendship with Nikaido, obviously, as well as, like, his relationship with Mr. Shimada, and I guess the other guy as well. It was also there.
In the dub, at least, he sounded like Western, like he was, like, British or something, and just like he was, like, a trust fund kid or something who was douchey. That was, like, the personality that he gave off.
I definitely remember that as well, actually. And I thought that was just a really good, like, setup for the Kyoto tournament, especially, like, you know, obviously Shimada is going to be a much larger part of the next, like, 4 or 5 episodes, so I think that's a good foundation set up for him.
I also thought that it was a really good, there was a really good moment in that arc where Nikaido and the other dude were like arguing about this one like opening move. And it seemed like it was played off as a joke somewhat, but where like they were arguing and then Ray kind of says, like, I feel like both of them are fairly basic. And just kind of like explains that, you know, it plays it off as a joke initially, but then it goes on to basically show that he is like he gets asked why and he can't explain it as well. Like it's just him having to go over something that he's not used to explaining because it even points out like, he's a loner. He rarely ever does like the typical like shogi training that you're supposed to do with other people. And I felt like that was a really good thing to point out for showing that he's still getting used to having people. And although he does say like, we haven't really changed, we've just gotten older. Like, it really shows the juxtaposition of what he thinks versus what's going on. And I really enjoyed that.
Right on. Then this will move us into our last like arc, which is the Kyoto tournament itself, along with seeing Shimada's like hometown-ish area, and then finally ending the season with a little bit more of Ray's backstory along with the setup for the rookie tournament. So how do you guys feel about like season one wrapping up as a whole with kind of like what they put together?
Yeah, I thought that it was done pretty well. I think that like it really had a really solid emotional climax with like, you know, Ray bursting out of the commentary booth and running to go see everything that's happening. It was a little bit of like a bittersweet ending with how everything went down. It did make me want to continue on with the series. Same. And watch season two at some point for sure. Yeah, really just looking forward to see it. Oh, and like the shogi club bit at the end that they start, I think that that's like a really good thing for Ray. Like, I think that, you know, if he finds that he enjoys teaching, like that would allow him to find a path outside of like shogi necessarily. Like, he could still teach people shogi, but he wouldn't have to like rely solely on like that high pressure world at some point if that's what he wanted to do.
And maybe he'll find his love for chemistry since it's the shogi / chemistry club.
I love that was so fun. It reminded me of like the athletic club and like Mob Psycho, where it's just like two different people coming together. I guess that maybe not different, but like, you know, like these two worlds coming together. It's like, let's do this. I thought that was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really liked the like Shimada point of view stuff.
Yeah.
I wish that we had gotten to see more of his matches, because like we sort of cut from the intro where he dips because he has like the stomach issues or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he loses three straight matches. And then we see the fourth one. And it's just like, I don't know, to me, like lowering the stakes like that, where he's like playing to just not get swept.
Yeah.
Felt a little anticlimactic. Like, it did do some good characterization stuff for Ray. Like, it showed that Ray wasn't willing to give up, which is good. And then like Ray does the thing, like the
move,
the Goodwill Hunting thing. Yes. Right.
That's a great way to describe it. He saw the move like, nobody else saw.
It would be like if a professional math teacher solved the board or whatever, but like still, you know, so like that was like pretty cool. And I liked that, but I legitimately got confused because they were talking about three straight losses and they were talking about that earlier with Ray and how he might get demoted. So I thought for like a minute that there were two characters that looked exactly the same. And one was Shimada, who was like playing in his tournament. And then there was other Shimada who doesn't exist that was like almost going to get demoted and worrying about that. But he wasn't going to get demoted. But it just confused me because it was like he had lost three straight, like, and Ray was worried about losing three straight. But one was like a match and one was like not a match. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just got a little lost in the sauce at some point during this. But I like loved all the hometown stuff. I loved how the old people were like, you know, like basically hinted to him that he didn't need to apologize or yes. whatever. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Love that scene.
Yeah, it was really good. I really liked all of that Kyoto stuff.
Little side note, I also loved the fact that, like, because the chief of the Shogi, like, association is, like, this piece of shit that goes around just poking people for no fucking reason. And then he goes to this fucking small town that is, like, his second best Shogi player is from, and he tries to get out of it. Everybody's just like, nah. Come get your ass whooping, little bitch. Like, I enjoyed that.
Come get the smoke. Yeah, I guess it's like part of the Kyoto tournament is like, you know, Shimada loses to like the best player in the world at Shogi. So it's like, it's also like, you know, if you got 0-4'd against, you know, if I played against LeBron and like 1-on-1 and he beat me 21-0, it's like, kind of expected, like that's what's going to happen. But yeah, I do think the setup
for me too.
I do think the setup was for, you know, Ray is seen as this up and coming star who's sort of not living up to his expectation, and then he does the move that nobody else saw, like Miles mentioned, the Goodwill Hunting scenario. And I do think that's kind of what it was for. But what really, like, what I fell in love with this arc was not really the Kyoto arc, but like the afterwards of like seeing Shimada and his passion for Shogi, where after he just got 0-4 smoked, he goes to like this fun festival. He's playing like he's playing against like 100 people at once or whatever. Like, it's, I know that's a chess thing too, but like he's having like the time of his life and like interacting with people, and it shows like why he's doing Shogi in the first place. I think that really like personalized Shimada in a different light, other than being like the mentor for Ray. And then sort of how it ended with getting the backstory of Ray and sort of like why, I mean, we've seen it before in earlier parts of the series, but I thought this was like a really good characterization of him. Like, you know, like he's not like he is bullied, but not like physically. But like, you see the things where he says, where he's like, I'm okay being alone, but like, you don't have to tell everybody that I'm alone, when he was on the bus. And I thought that scene was like I almost cried. Like, that was like,
oh God, okay.
That was like, I thought that was like really well done, where I think as I'm like, I'm an extroverted, but sometimes I'm pretty introverted, where like, I'm fine being quiet and alone by myself and doing whatever, but like, you don't have to tell everybody that I'm doing it. And like, that's what hurt him. And I thought that was just like a really interesting way of showing that. And then him sort of trying to find an escape with the lunch scene, where he's in this big open field and he can't run up the stairs and eat lunch by himself. He kind of has to get creative. And like, he's so afraid of taking that step that he's willing to like run through these bushes and sit on his folder so he could eat lunch by himself. And I really did like fall in love with Ray as a character. Like, there I was like, this is so well done. This is such a quick and strong backstory for Ray, and then setting up with right after coming out of that like dream sequence to his friends, his Shogi friends, being like, come on man, take a seat, like let's play some Shogi, and just like, look how far you've came. And like, that to me, that like, that's just like, I loved it. I just loved how season one ended. I thought it was damn near perfect.
I have something to say about episode 21.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You're going to say it.
One thing I need to point out is that during this discussion, we've barely, if at all, brought up the three girls.
We should do that at the end. I think they play a very pivotal point.
I think we should.
Oh, we should talk, we should do it right now.
We should talk about how the show would be better without them.
Wow!
Whoa!
And
Jesus, man!
Found family is such a huge thing of the show, and these—that's exactly. Like they're like his pillar.
He's or like, bye guys, going to Kyoto.
Fucking
yeah, he has a job.
Yeah,
yeah.
His Shogi players are his found family.
I was gonna say, does he not have a found family? Well, he like, got multiple other people.
You guys are my found family. Yeah. Like,
okay, that's very sweet.
Okay, don't be,
I'm getting sentimental, baby, but like, you got more than one found family. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I just, there was like, we were doing Shogi stuff, and then it cut to Hinata, and then she talked for 10 minutes about how she wanted to be a baker or something.
Yeah.
and I was like, oh my god, like, why are we doing this? Why do we care about this girl?
Notice how the two slice of life fiends reacted so positively to that. Hell and yeah. Meanwhile, Miles and I are sitting here like, what a waste of time. Like, again, that's where biggest examples of like where I was like, why was this? Like, okay, they could have literally done like a 10 second little cut where she's talking about how she likes doing this. Or they could have done the 10 minute long segment. It was like it was the entire half of the episode.
It was like the Putin Tucker Carlson, whatever his name is, interview. Yeah,
let's see.
My interview.
Where, yeah, yours. Yeah. Where, you know, she was like, oh, Grandpa, what about these mooncakes? And he's like, the mooncakes were invented in 200 BC. And then I don't know. I didn't like it. I don't care.
So did you not care about the Kawamoto family at all?
No, I don't care about them at
all.
Wow. Jesus,
they don't do anything.
They're
literally like the most important people for him.
Akari saves Rey. Rey is not in the position that he is without Akari taking him in as like the stray cat.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
And then
I don't like Rey though. You need to remember
that's true. But like, how do you hate on Momo? Momo's so fucking adorable.
No, Momo is cute. Sorry, I shouldn't hate on Momo. Momo is a child who has done nothing wrong. She says Ganbaru. It's very cute.
What's your favorite flavor of whatever? Bubble gum. Like, come on. How did you not smile when that happened?
Yeah.
You're a monster. I don't know. I expected them to do more in the thing.
I think they'd be more relevant.
What do you mean?
They're just like a support system. Like they, like Momo literally views Rey as her brother. Like,
yeah, and Hinata has a crush on him. But like, yeah,
which is understandable.
Like, yeah, I'm not saying it's not. Like, I get the like that's like the whole and like Akari views him as like an adopted little brother,
a stray cat. Yeah.
Yeah, I like their aunt.
The aunt was cool.
Yeah,
but I don't know if I can let this fly on this box.
I just
such a pillar of support for Rey. Like,
wait, hold on. Was the aunt cool? Wasn't she the one that like told Rey to like die basically at his parents' funerals? Or was that something?
That's a different aunt. We're talking about the Kawamoto's aunt,
the one who like came in with chain smoking.
Yeah.
The New Year's money. I thought
everyone,
that was
the even the person that has a full time job playing shogi.
I thought that was the same person, which is why I was confused. Well, because they look alike. I don't know, they weren't relevant to the rest of the story.
Also, Rey doesn't make that much money playing shogi. He like jizzes his pants with the idea of winning $600 at a tournament. Like, I think he's just scraping by.
Oh, that's fair.
Like most semi pro people would be, right?
Like, he owns like a club too.
Yeah, right? The aunt does. The aunt where Akari works at.
Akari works. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how they tie together.
I don't know. I guess I just like I didn't find them to be super. Okay, so like, there's the New Year's arc we didn't really like talk about, right?
Where we mentioned it. Yeah,
but like other than that, I didn't find them to be super involved with him. Like, I think there's a lot of like implied off screen stuff, but like, I need to see it. I want to see it.
I feel like you see it at the end because like, okay, so Rey is gone, but like to me, the Kawamoto family is like the place. No matter where you go in life, like you go to college, you move away for work, you whatever. That when you come back to this place, like, they're always going to be your family. And so like Rey's gone for like the Kyoto tournament and everything like that. It's been like a couple of weeks or something like that. But like Hinata's expression of just like, oh, welcome back, Rey. Like, I'm so happy to see you. Like, that's like, to me, like Hinata's like the sister he lost or whatever. Like that's kind of like what her role is. Like Akari's more of like the mom that he lost. Momo's cute, but like,
and they also they understand what it's like to lose family members as well.
Yeah.
Like they have that in common too.
Yeah, right. No, I agree. I don't know. Do you guys think it was weird they didn't know who Kyoko was though?
No, because I understand why Rey wouldn't want to fucking talk about her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially
he's like a very introverted guy at the start of the show and before that too, I assume. Like he doesn't want to like trouble And he's also somebody who feels like he takes up space where he's at. So he doesn't want to cause trouble for people with his issues or whatever.
And Akari mentions it. Akari's like reads the room. She's like, oh, this, like, if Ray wanted to tell us about this, he would have. And the fact that he didn't, it's like, well, let's just leave him alone because Ray needs to handle his business. And I think like they know that.
Yeah. And I guess I don't know. It just seemed, I don't know. I thought it was weird. I don't, just because like you certainly mentioned you had like a brother and sister. Right.
I mean, there's people in this Discord that I have talked to for 5 years that didn't know I had an older brother. Like,
you have an older nine.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, we share everything, but like we don't share. I mean, we share a lot, but like we don't share everything. Like, you don't have to share everything. And I think like Ray has serious problems with Kyoko. And it's one of those things where like when he is ready to talk about it, I think like someone like Akari is the person that he would turn to, but I just don't think he's ready for that conversation yet.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I'm gonna fight you, Miles.
I'm sorry.
that's fair. I don't even think that I think I did that to be like a little antagonistic. I don't think it's like my actual issue. I think that what the actual issue is more so than like they shouldn't go is that I think the show maybe spreads itself a little thin, trying to do a bunch of different things with like the found family stuff and the original family genre drama and all the shogi stuff. And so that the reason I don't find them to be super central is because when we end the show, for the most part, like we're not seeing them for long stretches unless it's like sort of an unrelated cut in or them being like, oh, I hope Ray's having fun in the sun. And then it like cuts to Kyoto being a fucking monsoon or whatever, which is funny. It was a funny scene, you know, but like, we sort of got them, like, they sort of, to me, felt a little bit condensed specifically to that New Year's arc, where, let's take something with found family like Hinamatsuri, right?
Okay.
Where that found family dynamic is, like, so pushed through the entire thing, right? Like,
yeah, this is also, because you hated Anzu, and she was my favorite character.
Well, that's true. Okay, but I had an issue with Anzu because she just abandons the homeless people.
Well, that's not true.
That's how I saw it.
Yeah, I know that's how you saw it. I don't think that's how anybody else saw it.
She's a demigod. Why didn't she
She's a child, Miles.
She's in
middle school and she's homeless. I would hope people don't want her to be homeless.
She's closer to Jesus than I am.
I don't know. Have you tried to put your hands up really high? You might be pretty close.
Yeah. What?
You want to wrap this up? We're at like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Jay, were you here for our Hinamatsuri episode? I can't remember if that was like pre or post J Factor.
I wasn't here for that.
Okay.
That was a fun.
We're still arguing about Anzu to this day. Show came out 6 years ago.
Alrighty. Let's do our closing thoughts and our final scores. Miles, why don't you start us off, buddy?
I want to apologize to the Kawamoto family. I was unfair to them. I feel like maybe there should have been more of them. And the way I expressed that was just cut them if we're not going to get enough of them. So talking about the show with you guys was fun. And like reviewing on it, like, the parts that I liked definitely stand out more than the parts that I didn't like for me. Like, there were parts that I was bored for sure, but at the end of the day, when I'm thinking about the show, I don't really remember those. So, there was nothing that was like, oh my god, this will bug me forever, right? Like, I liked it, I enjoyed it. At some point in the future, maybe when I'm, like, calmer in my life, which I don't know if that'll ever happen, I'll watch season two. If I'm looking to like watch something a little slower paced, but 8 out of 10 is what I'm going to give this. And
I'll take that.
Yeah. I was between 7 and 8, but like talking about it, you guys, you know,
we did it.
You made good points. And then, you know, I realized that maybe I was just being a little bit of a hater, which, you know, I've been known to do from time to time. So we're
among us.
Yeah, that's true. So we're taking off the hater goggles. We're going to get 8 out of 10. And I also don't think we talked about the visuals enough. So quick shout out to like when they're playing shogi and there's like waves and stuff and like all the different ways they did to keep people moving pieces on a board interesting. Because I really loved all of that.
There you go. All right, Kat, what about you?
Yeah, the show was a joy to watch. I thought it was going to be really, I thought it was going to drag on, but I'm glad I watched it later in the 2 weeks rather than earlier, because I binged this thing in one day. This show was very character driven, and I enjoyed all of the characters, even the characters that I grew to hate, Kyoko and Goto specifically. Like, this show became so good out of the foundation that it built in three episodes that just kept gaining momentum throughout the show. And I felt like there wasn't a lot of things that it could have done better, but there were a couple of things that I wish that were a little bit more fleshed out, like the Kawamoto family, and also just having a little bit more of a I don't know, maybe presenting Shogi in a little bit more of a digestible light. But also it's the fact that Shogi is so much more complex than a lot of the other games that we have here in America. So I can't really fault it too much for that. And with that in mind, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Alrighty. Jay, what about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I think that overall, like, the visuals were pretty solid, but I wouldn't, like, say that they were anything super special overall, but I did enjoy them. The soundtrack and voice acting, sound design in general is where I think that this really shines, especially when it comes to, like,
the Rei Cat Shogi song.
Yeah. Rei and Shimada's inner thoughts. Although I did like the cat voices did grow on me eventually, just not in the Shogi song, but as well as like the cute voices saying like startled or something like that. Like I enjoyed that.
It reminded me of Koopa Bear.
Yeah. So I liked that aspect of it. I think that if you're somebody who really enjoys character driven stuff and you don't mind a sort of slow burn when it comes to plot, then I would definitely recommend this. I would say you don't really have to understand Shogi all that much to like this. I thought it was going to be a lot more important to understand Shogi than it actually did end up being. And I think for me overall, this is an 8 out of 10. I gave this an 8.5 on AnnieList, but for here, I'll give it an 8.
8. Alrighty. What about you, Pete?
I love this show. I thought the cast overall was incredible. Rei, by the end of season one, was a protagonist that I was cheering for. Goto was a character that I loved, but I was kind of hoping he got hit by a car. I thought the dub was incredible. I loved Rei's voice actor. I thought he was immaculate with sort of the range of emotions that he could sort of show off, where most of the time he is this stoic character. But when he did have to like go to the next level, I think specifically in, I think it's like episode like 13, where Goto sort of tells Rei to like tell your sister to stop calling me type of thing, and he sort of like cracks. I thought the voice actor did like an incredible job at like that scene, and it really stood out to me. I love this story. I'm so happy I rewatched it. I couldn't believe I gave the show a 6 to begin with. Fell in love with it. It kind of reminds me of Link Click in a way, of where watching season one, I was like, okay, this show could be a 10 if it wraps up everything perfectly. But until I see the end result, it's a 9. And so I'm giving this a 9 with sort of the
caveat.
The caveat of like, if it's still cooking by the end of it, like it is, sort of like how Link Click season 2 was pure gas, probably going to be a 10 when it's all said and done. I think when I finish season 2, and I'll probably read this manga as well, just because it's like a monthly and I feel like I can catch up pretty quickly. Yeah, I fell in love with everything about the story. I'm going to give it a 9 for now. And yeah, I can't wait to start watching season 2.
Okay. I think for me, my biggest frustrations with the show, we talked about them a little bit. But for me, it was the pacing. I really did. Maybe not the pacing, but I just felt there was a lot of scenes that could have been cut or didn't need to have happen that led to me being very bored while watching this at various points. So again, there were some really the highlights we talked about a lot today. And they were very high highlights, But I was very frustrated watching this show. I'm very curious about season two, because, like, surely it's not like a 9 point something on Mal for nothing, right? Like, surely not.
Like the
right?
12th highest like, rated anime ever or something like that.
Yeah, like, surely not. But this is also really highly rated on Mal. So I don't know. I think for me, like, my level of enjoyment. And critically, I can agree that this show is very good, but from in terms of level of enjoyment, it just wasn't high enough for me to give it anything higher than like a 7. I was also like Miles, like in between like a 7 and an 8, and maybe it'll go up, but it's a 7 for now for sure for me. So that brings our average score to an 8.2, which is
pretty close.
8.4 or 8.38 is the original rating or the rating on Mal. So yeah, we weren't too far off. But yeah, I guess that wraps up our discussion of March Comes in Like the Lion, or a lion, like the lion. March Comes in
like a wolf.
A lion. Let's talk about what we're watching 2 weeks from now. Miles.
Let's go.
Okay, let's get this over with. Okay. I'd like to thank everyone who supported the cause over the years. And I would like to continue thanking them. In third place, we have Uma Musume Pretty.
Damn it.
Let's go!
Legacy point.
In second place, we have Interstella with some numbers. I just wrote Interstella. And in first place, we have Yuri Is My Job. Hey. Fucking crushing the competition. I'm excited to just be like, I want to give my score last, Pat. So after all of the sixes, I can be like 9 out of 10.
That's fine. Yeah. So it's just to specify, we did not mean to have our below 7.2 show the week before April Fool's Day, but it actually ended up working out that way. So we got a little bit of both. We got a show below a 7.2 this coming week. And then the week after, we're doing comedy shows. So we spun the wheel before the recording here, and that's how we decided between a comedy Uma Musume season 2 or a really bad show, and we ended up on comedy. So what are we nominating for Watch Club for our April 1st episode? Miles, what have you got for a comedy?
Yeah, I'm between like 70 things right now. Turns out literally every show has the comedy tag.
I can go if you need some time.
Yeah, can you guys go just so I can like either narrow it down, or maybe you'll take one of the options or something. Yeah.
My show, the main characters are a robot, Freddie Mercury, and a gorilla. I will be nominating Cromartie High School. The cover of Cromartie High School is literally them doing the Bohemian Rhapsody cover. It's super funny.
That's not what I thought you were going to nominate.
Me either.
You thought I was doing like Asobi Asobase or something?
Yes.
I've already seen it. I haven't seen Cromartie High School.
Is that spelled like Antonio Cromartie?
Yeah, minus the 12 kids.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Okay, it's also
spelled a lot of kids.
There
we go.
Yeah.
All right, Kat, what about you?
Well, I thought that he was going to take my show. I'm nominating Ace of Chaos Impossible.
Okay. All right.
Jay, what do you got?
I am going to nominate Haven't You Heard I'm Sakamoto.
That was my backup.
I have not seen that show. That's probably my number one.
Super fun.
I haven't seen any of these. This is exciting. All righty. Miles, I guess I'll go right before you. I am going to nominate the Konosuba spinoff with Megumin, whatever nice that pick. Was, the explosion on this wonderful world. I still haven't gotten around to watching it yet, and I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to talk about, because we have some very unique Konosuba takes, I think, in this group. Some of us adore it, and others do not. So I think it'd be fun to talk about. Yeah, it's
depressed.
Not just press. Well, has to, I guess, but fair enough. Out of this group, how many of us have... Jay, have you actually watched Konosuba yet?
I've watched some of it. I'm okay on it.
Right. Lukewarm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. But Miles, what are you nominating?
Fuck me.
Should we go to the wheel?
Yeah. Do we want to wheel my choices?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Without knowing what they are, let's do it. And
okay, yeah, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5. I have 5 options currently.
One moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't stream it. You'll have to take my word.
Okay.
Why can't you stream it? Just mess up the recording for Trent. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Trent. It is 1.
Okay. 1 is going to be Monthly Girls Nozaki.
Oh, great show. Great show.
I love that show.
Oh, that's a fantastic show.
The other options were Princess Connect Redive, the Tatami Time Machine Blues, which for some reason has a comedy tag. I felt like a little nah on that one. Buddy Daddies, the best original anime in 2023.
I love Buddy Daddies.
and then Pompo the Cinephile.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you picked the best one out of the 5.
I agree.
Maybe Time Machine Blues. I really like the Tatami Galaxy.
Me too, but it doesn't feel very comedy-y, right? Like,
there's like hints. It's funny, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Like, Marvel movies aren't comedies, but they have funny moments, right?
Sure. Sweet. All right. Well, that wraps up our Watch Club for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. And Pete, why don't you take it away?
If you have made it this far and you want to support us, the best way to do so, like, comment, subscribe, leave a review on whatever platform you are watching or listening to us on. Next week, I believe we are doing our already spring preview. We'll be talking upcoming shows. I think we'll dabble in a little bit of the season or the sequels because we're getting big hitters like Konosuba is coming out and something. Oh, and Laid Back Camp season 3. So, you know, I'll be talking about those too. Otherwise, if you are here for Watch Club, we will see you in 2 weeks for sadly, Yuri is My Job. Thanks, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Bye bye.